The following program is in no way representative of the high-quality programming usually heard on the Maverick Radio Network. The views expressed and fishing techniques demonstrated are not endorsed by this station. The following is not a news broadcast.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, are you there?
I'm here now, if you'd figure out what the heck it is you're doing.
Ton, it's my first day.
It is not.
What would you like me to do?
Your first day trying to be semi-cool?
Yeah, and it's not working out for me, so
it's not really
I'd appreciate it if maybe you could just cut me some slack.
All right, I'll ease up a little bit.
I appreciate that.
Thanks.
I also appreciate that you fine folks have decided to tune in to the Five Count tonight.
It pretty much rocks.
This happens to be week three of our three-week celebrity throwdown.
Celebrity throwdown, huh?
Yeah, I just came up with that. I think it fits perfectly.
That's pretty good. Your awesomeness thing is just went up like one notch on the meter.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's no problem.
So, speaking of awesome,
yeah,
guess who is on the program tonight?
I have no idea.
Well, it's a man by the name of Ed Gale.
Whoa.
Okay, which might not ring any bells, but here's the clincher, all right?
All right.
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know the dude, yeah.
Well, guess what? This guy was Howard the Duck.
He was the dude in the actual suit. He was the guy who played Howard the Duck.
The best movie, isn't it? Considered the best movie ever?
I think last time I checked it out, yeah, you went on IMDb and it was like, click here for sweetest movie ever made on planet Earth, and that showed up.
Yeah, Howard the Duck. Man.
I think it also got like sweetest soundtrack ever, right? And didn't we interview that guy also? What more can you do with your Saturday night other than listen to us? Seriously.
This show is just like,
unbelievable.
You think it can't get any better, and then it's like, hey, guess who's on the show? Howard the Duck.
Bam.
And there it is. Your face, your mind, all over the place.
It's blown. It's pre-lit, so it's pre-blown.
Get a squeegee.
Figure it out.
You know who else this guy played?
Who?
Chucky and Child's Play.
Yeah.
That movie scared the bejesus out of you.
Wasn't he in all of them, too, something?
Yeah,
like he's Bride of Chucky, all that business.
Yeah, he's big time. Well, not big time. I mean, Chucky wasn't that big, but as far as the grand scheme of things, he was big time.
That freaked a lot of people out. Well, people had, like, My Buddies, and then they watched that movie, scarred for life.
Ton threw his My Buddy in the garbage after he saw that movie. He couldn't even sleep with it in the same room.
Couldn't even do it.
What can you do, man?
I threw him in the trash can and set him aflame. And then he was back on my pillow 3 days later. Freaked me out.
He was freaked.
It's bad news.
Ed Gale also was in Leprechaun, I think.
Yeah.
they set him on fire.
That's your favorite movie, right?
Isn't that
you and your fiance's like anniversary film, I thought?
It's romantic, I'll tell you that.
Watch that on anniversaries?
Well,
nice.
I'm a hopeless romantic, so.
Yeah, Leprechaun is
what
one
can
of
you
them.
Do? Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Wow. Way to go.
So, Ed Gale on the show tonight.
Yeah, I have to say, if you had any other plans at all, I would probably cancel them now. Update your Facebook, say you're busy, because this is it.
Tell Facebook you're busy, and then post a link to this particular program.
Yep.
Because you know your friends are going to be pissed. If they miss it.
Yeah. If you're like, no, I'm just listening to Howard the Duck on the five count, everybody's going to be pissed that you didn't tell them. So just do it now. Just do it right away.
I say we play some music, possibly from the Howard the Duck soundtrack, which is our song.
Yeah, it is.
Some people don't know that. Howard the Duck by Cherry Bomb and Dobie's Cube. It's a ton of nice song.
Yep.
We slow dance to it out in the lobby.
Yep.
It's great.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, let's get to that, and then we'll be back with Ed Gale, Howard the Duck. It's all here on the five count.
I am ready to rock. We'll be right back.
come by, but you'll find that I'm a good guy who'll stick with you until the very end. Then much to my surprise, he rolled his head and he blinked his eyes. So I took him home to be my very own. And things were really going swell, till my auntie slipped and fell. And Chucky laughed and said, now we're
we'll be right back.
awesome. Right?
Yeah, totally awesome.
Tubular.
Hope this dude gets in his duck suit.
Let's see if he's out and about.
Out and about. He's probably going to be sleeping.
In Cleveland.
I don't think he wants to talk to you anyway, to be honest with you.
Come on, man. We're a big-time radio show.
Yeah, but I think he's got something against you in general.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hello, is Ed Gale there?
Yeah, who is this?
This is Dustin Wilmes from KMSU Radio.
How are you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I had a half a inkling not to answer the phone. I thought, no, I can't do it three times.
Well, we got you now. I'm here with my co-host, Tun.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hi, Tun, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
Oh, good. We get to talk over each other.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
That'll be fine. We'll just say over when we're done talking.
That's a good plan.
Anyway, so are we on now?
Yep. We'll just ask you a couple questions if you got time.
Oh, sure.
All right. Well, first of all, we wanted to know how you got started in acting.
It was something I always knew I wanted to do. I think I was about 8 years old and I saw The Wizard of Oz, and it had nothing to do with the Munchkins or any of that madness. It was the fact of Judy Garland, the character she played was Dorothy Gale, my last name. And I just said, out of, you know, like an eight-year-old child would, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a race car driver. I said, you're going to see my name in the credits of a movie.
Hmm.
And that was just sort of, that was that, you know, that was the catalyst.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, there's a lot of things every human being, including yourself, have said, you know, as a young child, and without knowing it, you know, maybe 8, 9, 20, 30 years later, you're like, oh my God, it came true, you know, because you planted the seed. And I think that's what I did, because I didn't study acting, I didn't, you know, take drama classes or anything. I just said that's going to happen, I'm going to California, I'll become an actor, obviously, no clue, but that's all it was. It was just a statement, and I had to make it come true.
Well, tell us a little bit how you landed the role in Howard the Duck.
How I made it happen. I left. I'm from the Midwest and Michigan, and I left when I was 20 years old. I had $41 in my pocket. Don't recommend that. Obviously, almost 30 years ago, it was a different time. And I, you know, came to California and told everybody, Hollywood, you know, here I am. And, of course, they said so. Nothing happened for about, God, a year and a half, I think. And then Universal Studios put the word out that they were looking for little people, you know, for an audition. And they had contacted, if you remember, the late Billy Barty.
Yeah.
From the, you know, the Little People of America. They contacted him looking for, you know, specific, you know, sizes. We're looking for 3-foot-ish, this, that, and the other thing. And he gave them 4 or 5 names, and one of them was mine, because we literally had met just like a month or so before that. Just coincidentally, we had met at a Christmas party, so... And he threw a bunch of names at him. And again, of course, one was mine. And I got a call to do an audition. I didn't know what the hell an audition was, but I, you know, okay. Well, obviously, the first audition, they said, no, I was too tall. Yeah, okay. I still have that letter, by the way. And, audition and turn, you know, audition rejection. We're still looking for this. We're not quite looking for you. And obviously, then when it came right down to it, they offered me the understudy or the stunt double. And, of course, being clueless, I'm like, okay. And if you ever see the DVD of Howard the Duck, behind the scenes, and listen to the producers and everybody talk, then you'll see how eventually the original didn't work out as well as they had hoped, and I eventually took over and then reshot that stuff and plus, you know, shot all the new stuff. So,
well, when you were on the set, was it difficult working in that suit for so long?
Yes and no. Yes, when I look back on it, of course, then it's your very first job ever. You know, when it's your very first anything, that was my very first audition. I didn't know what an audition was. Same thing as, like, you know, you being on a radio station, let's say, you know, and you doing what you did, your very, very first time you spoke into a microphone, you had nothing to compare it to.
Right.
I mean, so was it, you know, was a director hard to work for? I don't know what's a director like to work for. You know, was the script hard to do? What, I don't know. What's a script do? You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I mean, physically, yes, I lost... 11 pounds in 30 days, and it was very physically demanding because I'd have the costume on, you know, 12, 14 plus hours a day, yeah.
Wow.
And like I said, it was a different time back then. Now the unions are so strict, you get, you know, you get a 20-minute break every 19 minutes or whatever, you know. The unions are very strong and heavy, and wasn't like that back then. So, and plus, again, it's my very first job. I didn't complain. I didn't know who to complain to. So you didn't want to lose your job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like, well, and it wasn't work, you know. How do you complain? I mean, doing what you're doing, making, you know, 10 times more money than you've ever seen in your life, you know. I was like, okay, I think this is okay.
Well, what was it like on the set as far as, like, do you have any funny stories or memories other than losing all that weight in the suit?
Yeah, almost dying and having a stroke. Yeah, other than that, no, it wasn't life-threatening. But, at first I felt, you know, you had to understand, I mean, I'm on the set with, you know, Leah Thompson, Jeffrey Jones, George Lucas, you know what I'm saying, Gloria, you know, Cats, World Hike, et cetera. I'm on the set with these people, like, I don't belong there. I'm the newbie. And yet, I'm playing the star character, and it's like, it's hard to just wrap my head around the fact that I'm not a fan now. You know what I mean? I'm on the other side now. Funny stories. Oh, my God, they go on and on and on. We went through 19 different heads from between me running into walls or people running into me and, you know, breaking the costumes and things. The heads were like $50,000 each. And, you know, all remote control, all, you know, animatronic or whatever you call it. And, I probably think my two funny stories is asking a man who I've never heard of, I've never seen before in my life because he's doing the soundtrack, and says, "You've ever done music before?" Of course, Thomas Dolby looks at me and said, "Yeah." You know, again, 20 years old, I'm from Michigan. Who the hell is Thomas Dolby? Didn't know. You know, and then, of course, not being able to see out of the costume, I have no idea who's next to me and who's doing that and who's doing that. And yeah, I remember somebody, I was sleeping in the costume, and somebody grabbed my foot and said, "Oh, my God, it's cute." You know, and I jump up and like, who the hell is that? Why are they touching me? I'm sleeping. Do they have a freaking clue? And it's Robin Williams. Yeah, a big old feed. They fit my whole yard. But I think I've insulted some of the biggest names in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, we've done that too, so.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. Doesn't you feel like a schmuck? I'm like, okay. That was, and then they're like, one of the biggest ones was, you know, oh, show them how you dance and show them how you do the Howard, you know, the duck dance. And I'm like, okay, trying, tired, you know, and I'm on a carpet or whatever, you know, the duck feet don't work right. And I'm trying to do this. Oh, do the moonwalk and do the this and do the that. And I'm like, I can't do the moonwalk. I'm white. And I take the head off and say hi to Michael Jackson. Oh, God. Yeah, I learned not to talk too much in public anymore. Thank you. Even you're laughing. Thank you. That was the winner there.
So what did you think when the movie came out and everything? I mean, were you surprised that it's kind of cult success?
Oh, God, I think anyone who's ever done a movie that garnered cult, you know, success, you know, any of those types of movies, you don't expect it. It's a George Lucas Universal film, a huge budget, huge production, of course, you know what I mean? It's going to be a big film. You never thought of, ever. You never sit there and think in a movie going, okay, I'm sitting on a flop. No, you never did that. And again, my first movie, what is a premiere? You know, what are the radio? You know, what, I don't even know what all this is about, you know? And so, and then of course, all of the critics, you know, destroyed the film. And it was humbling. It was kind of like, okay, I'm not George Clooney overnight. I'm not Tom Cruise. You know what I mean? I got to go back and see what, do this again, see what we did wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was like, you know, I took it personally at first because they would say things like, you know, oh, it's just it's seven midgets in a duck suit and the movie's not going to go anywhere, which I always laughed in a way because, you know, George Lucas never did. I don't know if he does anymore. He never did show his movies to critics, what they call a pre-screen. So anytime that they slam a movie of his, it's funny because they've never seen it.
Wow, yeah.
And they're just, it's just speculation, you know. And they're just going on speculation. So I thought it was kind of funny, but then, you know, the box office didn't, you know, wasn't. The reason there's never going to be a sequel, let's put it that way.
Well, not too long after that, you landed the role as Chucky in Child's Play, is that right?
Yes, that one was very fortunate because once, you know, obviously there's a lot of people who worked on, let's say, Howard the Duck, who did get, you know, acclaims such as, let's say, the music, you know, Thomas Dolby, or maybe somebody who made the costume or painted something. Those kind of people don't care about the movies. Success or failure. They're like, oh my God, you built a rocket for that movie, or you built the bus for that movie. You know, it was a horrible movie, but it was a great, you know, a great shot. because you're judged on what you do in this business. And because getting out there as being, you know, Howard in Howard the Duck, I did a flying thing for Birdie in the McDonald's commercial. So when Chucky came along, they just said, they said, I want him. And that was, again, very humbling again to say, wow. You know, they just pulled my name out of the, you know, people in Hollywood know me. Wow.
Yeah, were you surprised that that film went on to span so many sequels over the years?
Yes. Oh, yeah, again, you know, wow. Again, you just don't know, you know. Friday the 13th, who knew? Freddy Krueger, whatever, who knew? Then there's movies, you just see Howard the Duck, gone. You know, there's no prediction, you know. You just can't, you know, you can't predict, you know, how many, like television. Who knew this show lasts 12 seasons and this one lasted a half a season? If you really, really like it, you know it's going to get canceled, so.
Yeah.
You know? So again, we had no idea that, you know, Chucky would take off and do that, and it's amazing, you know. I hope they don't do any more unless he's in a nursing home, but I'm way too old and fat to do it now, but.
But you do a lot of your stunts, your own stunts, right?
Yes, I had a stunt double, actually several, on Howard the Duck, only because it wasn't possible to shoot, you know, these and them. They started breaking it up. You know, if you look on the credits for Howard the Duck, there's like 7-8 names, and they explain it, thank God, finally, in the DVD that there was only one, and it was me. But Debbie Carrington did some of my stunts, and I'm drawing a blank. I'll think of a name before this is over. Did my stunt in the flying, you know, little airplane for Howard the Duck, because that's one I just, no. I just, they gave me a test ride, and I said, no. I just, I screamed like a girl. I was done. I was done with that one. Marguerite Fernandez up in the Bay Area, she's the one that did those stunts for me. But mostly, I have to do my own stunts only because I'm dumb enough to do it, and it's hard to find a stunt double with my exact proportions, or even close, anyway. You know?
Well, what are some of the craziest stunts that you've done? Like, have you ever been injured doing any of them?
Probably radio interviews. Oh, I'm sorry. I would say, yeah, being run over, and like in Howard the Duck, when I was run over by the 18-wheeler, you know, the semi-truck, that was a straight, full-on run-over. It wasn't one of those cut things where you kind of get the point cut and then show the, you know, you show the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And then the middle is, no, this was a straight run-over. Full body burn with Chucky, of course, and Leprechaun 3. That was a full body burn on wires.
Wow.
I'd say hurt, you know, bumped and bruised around, but never, you know, hospitalized or anything. You know, stunts are made to look dangerous, not necessarily be dangerous. And if you have a great crew, and I've been very fortunate, if you see look at any of the credits of any movie I've ever done, look at the stunt crew, and they're all top-notch. You know, just never, you can't work with, you know, half-assed people on those, in that end of it, you know?
Well, I suppose if you're going to be set on fire and run over by trucks, you kind of have to put your faith in those people.
Yeah, I'm going through the windshield of a car at a high rate of speed. Yeah, we've all done, and I'll say a lot of things, a lot of little people, such as myself, we've done work that a lot of people don't even know we've done. Stunt doubling children, you know, I was in the, underneath the, what was I? Where you put your feet at in the passenger car, down on the floorboards. And all I did is flip a switch on and off to make it look like the car had a collar on, because when they got the car, a brand new, I think it was a BMW, when they got it, it didn't have a collar on. You know, and they were like, oh, crap. What do you do? And this guy just, you know, obviously these are professionals and these are brilliant people. Hook a light up to the battery and, you know, put him in the floor and flip the switch and make it look like the thing's going off. So, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of times where I've been able to, you know, you save the day and it makes you feel kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, little things. We've done, like I said, we were very utilitarian in the day.
Well, besides Child's Play and Howard the Duck, I mean, you've been in so many cult classics, you know, like Spaceballs and Phantasm, and you mentioned Leprechaun. And are there any films besides Howard and Child's Play that you think you really are associated with as far as the fans go? Or?
Oh, any real ones, you mean?
Well, no, I'm just...
I'm teasing. A lot of people, yeah, that weren't necessarily, you know, cult classics or whatever. I don't know, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I had that one quick scene. I don't know if that's considered a cult classic, or it's just, that was a mainstream, I think. And, you know, I had that one line, he ain't lying, and a lot of people remember me from that. Baywatch, I think, would be considered a cult classic now, but it wasn't then. It was viewed by over 1 billion viewers.
Yeah.
You know, when it was in its high line, and, you know, it's funny because it was the most talked about, laughed about, and made fun of, and most watched. So, There you go.
Yeah, well.
Call it what you want. Call it what you want, baby. 1 billion viewers wasn't. No other show had that.
Definitely. And when we say cult classics, I mean, we definitely don't mean that in a negative way. A lot of those films.
No, but it's a very, I know what you mean, a cult classic is just a small audience that will, it'll live forever in infamy, so to speak.
Yeah, well, that's why we looked you up. I mean, we love a lot of these films, so this stuff lives on.
Yeah, like, it's ironic. I mean, I do rarely now, I've slowed down, but I've done autograph conventions, and it's surprising people remember some of the smallest roles I've done, no pen intended. Dialogue, they remember everything, and I'm like, wow. You know, it's just really, it's cool. They like somebody that much, you know, that much to look them up. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you're working on now or upcoming projects?
No, I slowed down. You never want to say the word retired because then they'll stop calling you, of course. But I'm slowing down. It's ironic that I told people I got in this business, you know, in mid-85 when they really needed and used little people. And I'm getting out about the time that they're not.
Okay.
So it's kind of a mutual, what do you call it, you know, a mutual, you know, departure, so to speak.
Yeah.
Obviously, they don't use little people that much in a utilitarian sense because everything's all computer generated now. In fact, the next Child's Play will be a remake of the Chucky 1, and it's going to be all CGI.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, that's...
So like I said, you know, and then what was the one my friend Deep Roy did with Johnny Depp, the Willy Wonka thing? Charlie Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
You know, one little guy, 30 characters, that kind of thing. So, yeah, a lot of that, even if you watch television, even like the Christmas commercials, which I made, you know, a lot of Christmas commercials, made a fortune, and now I can't even buy a commercial. It's all computer-generated. They shrink, they take tall people and shrink them down, or they just make little cartoony elves, or, you know, whatever they do, so.
Lame.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm getting, they don't use us much anymore, and I'm getting tired of working. Hopefully it'll be a nice mutual parting of the ways.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, I've been very blessed. I think I have. You know, I got in at the right time, and I'm slowing down at the right time.
Well, it's been great talking with you. Do you have any parting words for us before we let you go?
Parting words before I'm dead and gone. Yeah, well, back when we made movies, we used real duck feathers. I don't know. I don't want to sound like, you know, the old fashioned. You know, if you believe, you can do anything you want, as long as you believe. You know, it's not true. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm not going to be a truck driver. You know, I'm not going to be an astronaut. So it's not necessarily. You know, you can be anything you want to be. You know, you can be anything that you got to choose wisely. But my thing is, if you follow your heart, your dreams will follow you. And I know because mine did. And don't be a dreamer because you have to be asleep to be dreaming. You know, be a realist and. Go for it if you want to be an actor, singer, dancer, whatever you want to be, do it. But get a degree in something, you know, medical, computers, law, something. Have something to fall back on because I didn't. And once in a while, I'll get these little stress attacks, and I'll think, oh, my God, what if I didn't? What if I didn't make it? What would I have done?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't plan. It was like, you know, wow. I wasn't like Bill Gates. Bill Gates had all kinds of backup plans, you know. But, you know, you're a lot of actors. We don't have backup plans because we just go in this with... illusions of grandeur, and like they say, Hollywood, you know, it's filled with broken dreams, you know.
Then you end up working in radio.
You know? You know, that's what I say, those who can't.
There it is. Tony's talking to you.
And those who can't teach high school gym. I don't know the rest of the line. What was that? Anyway.
Awesome.
Anyway, so, where are you guys located at?
We're in Minnesota.
Oh, that's right, I was talking, because yeah, we'll be headed that way. Maybe we can stop in and say hi.
Yeah, you said you were heading to the mall, right?
Mall of America. Yeah, we're going to be totally tourists. My partner and I, he gets 6 weeks off, so hell of a paid vacation, so.
Yeah, geez.
Hello, we got to do it, you know. He draws blood and works in the lab. Never mind. And we're going to drive across. I think first stop's going to be the mall, and we might go over the top of Michigan via Canada, drop down the Niagara Falls or whatever, and he wants to move to the East Coast. I'm going to bury me in Wyoming and keep going. Yeah, I was like, I don't do cold. We'll see.
Well, yeah.
We'll keep in touch with the email. Maybe we can stop in the station and say, hey.
Sure, shoot us an email.
That'll be fun. Maybe when I get there, you guys will actually be there. Uh-huh.
We'll be here for you.
Close down the door.
Exactly.
I was in Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town. You know what my price is?
Yeah, well, I own that movie, so there you go.
Well, you're lucky. You can't find it. They pulled it.
Yeah, it's out of print now, yeah.
Yeah, no, the producers pulled it. I know the producers. They won't even let me have it.
Wow. Well,
thank God I bought it on eBay. I would have never gotten it.
Wow.
You know, I know the guys over at Troma. What's his name? Oh, shoot, what's his name?
Lloyd Kaufman.
Thank you. Yep. Lloyd can't get me one.
Even he can't get you one.
Man.
Wow.
No.
It's rough.
No, I sat in his office, and he looked at me like, dude. They locked it up, and they did something.
Dude,
locked it up tighter than a drum.
That's awesome.
How bad is that? How big is your name in Hollywood? I can't get a copy of Chopa Chick's Lloyd Kaufman. You know who I am? No. Yeah. Me neither.
Wow.
All right, kids.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
No problem. Appreciate it, both of you.
Yeah, you have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hello there, this is Thomas Dolby, and you're listening to The Five Count on KMSU 89.7.
Such lots to give. Don't know.
And we're back. You love that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that was? Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Now, could you imagine as a child that one day you would grow up to be friends with Howard the Duck?
No, I can't.
I can't even fathom.
No.
That's just so ridiculous.
It is. It is quite ridiculous, yes.
And so great.
But I have to say this now.
Okay.
This show is so awesome that happens to me like every week. I'm like, holy crap. When I was like 10, I had no idea I was going to be talking to this guy because they were the knees of bees when I was 10.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And now it just happens every week, talking to another guy.
You are a bad enough dude to rescue the president, in my opinion.
Yes. I'm bad.
So, you're friends with Howard the Duck.
Yeah. Next. Who do you think I'll be friends with next?
I got a feeling that somebody pretty awesome pretty might be ridiculous. Around the corner. Stay tuned for that info.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, this program is coming to an end.
Yep. It was pretty great. He was pretty cool. I think we're going to go hang out with him at the mall. You know?
Yeah. He said he was coming. He was going on a road trip for the sole purpose of meeting Ton.
Yep. So I think I'll probably do that. Because, I mean, what other chance would you get to hang out with Howard the Duck?
That's true. That's true. And that's pretty common, actually.
What do you mean it's pretty common?
It's kind of like Vikings training camp. You know, where those dudes put on their Fran Tarkington jerseys and take a week off of work for vacation and drive to Mankato to stand around and whistle at Donovan McNabb. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of other people out there do the exact same thing for Ton, wherever Ton happens to be.
Oh, yeah.
He makes a lot of appearances and whatnot.
For me.
And people just take off work. Honey, pack the cooler, grab the kids, we're going to meet Ton. That's what they say. That's how I met
no
Ton.
I had no idea.
That's how we first met.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I heard he was going to be at the bookstore, so I took a road trip. Brought my Sharpie.
So, I mean, do you think a lot of these other people just get too, like, flustered to approach me then? And it's just... Because, I mean, not many people approach me.
They're starstruck.
Starstruck.
Tonstruck.
All right.
Like that AC/DC song.
I'll try to start wearing less flashy clothing or something, maybe. Then I'll seem more accessible.
Might I suggest wearing more flashy clothing?
All right. Go opposite.
Just a suggestion.
Sequined sports coat?
I'm on board.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, this show is over. I would maybe recommend that you check out thefivecount.com. You could listen to it again.
Yes.
Over and over.
This show may be over, but the fun is not. www.thefivecount.com. You can check out everything that is this show.
A new issue of Save the Crumbs is coming soon. And the True Punks coming even sooner, which is what she said.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
You know what that means.
Ton, it's been a pleasure.
All right.
See you next time.
See ya.